Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And our text this morning will be verses 10 to 16. Verses 10 to 16. Paul writes, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's go to the Lord before we tackle our text this morning. Heavenly Father, again, as we go to your word, we pray that you would help us to put away the distractions of the week. I pray that you would help us to come with clean slates before you, that there may be nothing between us and you to hinder the hearing of the word of God. And so we pray that we would come worthily to hear your word. And then, Lord, I pray that you will take your word, your Holy Spirit will teach us, and that you will reveal to us again more truths about you and who you are, that we might worship you and love you more. And I pray that we would go forth more in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would go forth more praising him and lifting up his name for what he has accomplished for us on our account. And may we go forth again more assured in your word, more assured of the work of the Holy Spirit, and more assured of the gospel as we go forth. And so I pray, mold us, I pray, by your word today in your name. Amen. Well, we've been going through Corinthians, and we've really been talking about, as we've been going through Corinthians, the idea of wisdom. And we have been dealing with a church, and really we could plant this church maybe even in modern days, a church that is fascinated with the world's wisdom. We have a group of people who continually are, shall we say, enamored by worldly values. We talked about the Corinthian culture and how they were fascinated with philosophy. They were fascinated with intricate arguments. They were fascinated by words and flowery pictures, and they just really liked that. And they were impressed by that. Now, the Corinthians had come to salvation, and they had certainly come by to the point where they were believers. But it was hard to get the culture out of them. And in fact, it started to cause problems in the church because they were still looking a little bit for that worldly wisdom. And of course, any worldly philosophy and any worldly wisdom will lead to disunity in the church. And that is exactly what Paul addresses when he starts, because he says, some of you are from Apollos, and some of you say, I'm from Paul, and some of you say, of course, the more spiritual ones say they are from Christ, which is AKA we don't listen to anybody, we don't follow anybody, we just do our own thing. And so there's a part of the church that is maybe following personality cults, and they're following people who preach the right way for them, right? He's my favorite teacher, he's my favorite preacher. He's the one who really speaks to me, and so I'm going to follow him. But Paul says to them, listen, you're misunderstanding what's going on here. You're misunderstanding what the importance of the preacher. You're misunderstanding the importance of the message. And he says, listen, I understand that the world thinks that the gospel is not fancy. And I understand that they think that the teachings of the Word of God are really kind of lowbrow. And I understand that the world thinks that the gospel itself is really foolishness. In other words, who would come up with this moronic idea that God would come in flesh and die on the cross for men? Who comes up with that? God would never come down and condescend to man, and he would never die. How can God die? All of these objections come up. This has got to be the most foolish philosophy that's ever come across. And Paul says, listen, actually, though it seems like foolishness, it's actually the wisdom of God, and it's actually able to save people. In other words, all the philosophies of men cannot save man, cannot change man, but the gospel can. And the truths of the Word of God can change people. In fact, he says, don't be fooled by the flowery messages and the flower philosophies, because actually this is the true wisdom of God. And it has the power to save. It is the power that will last. It's not like the worldly wisdom that will pass away. But this God's wisdom is stronger than men's, and it's eternal. Paul says, you're not convinced? Then he says, well, look how powerful the gospel is, because Corinthians, look at you. Not many wise, not many mighty, right? And that's where we looked at that out clause there, right? Not many mighty, but maybe I'm one of them. Maybe, right? Not many wise, but maybe I fit into that category. I'm the exception to this rule. But Paul says, look at who God saved. God took the foolish things of the world, he took the weak things of the world, and he saved them. These are the kind of people he saved. That demonstrates the power of God. And now he has demonstrated how powerful the gospel is, because he didn't save those who thought they were smart. He saved those who were nothing to make them into something, and shows the world's wisdom is upside down and wrong. And just so you don't think that the power of the gospel, and you understand that the power of the gospel is in the message and is able to save the foolish, I want you to know that it's not in the preacher either. He says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. In other words, I didn't come with the flowery language. It wasn't invested in the power of the speaker. He says, I didn't come that way, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I did not overpower the message by my rhetoric. Now, there's a consistent thought out there that Paul was a poor speaker. I don't necessarily buy that. He was a well-trained Pharisee. He was a bright man. But Paul says, I didn't come to try to use my rhetoric to override the message. The message was foundational. And it wasn't because I did some special work. It wasn't in me. He said, I did that so your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on what? The power of God. In other words, I just presented the truth of the Word of God, and the power of God worked to bring you to salvation. And then he says in verse 6, just in case you actually think that because I came simply that the message is moronic, guess what? It's not. Because I actually did speak to you the wisdom of God. I didn't come bringing you something that couldn't save you, something that could not change you. But it is a wisdom, and this is why the world thinks that it's foolish, and this is why the world thinks that Christianity and the truths of the Word of God are moronic, is because you can't get there through your flesh. Man can't come up with this. It's not of this age. It's not of the rulers of this age. In other words, no one in this time or in humanity has the wisdom to be able to come up with the gospel and the truths of the Word of God. And no one in this, none of the rulers, none of those who led had the ability to do that. because it's hidden from them, predestined before God through the ages to be revealed to those who he chose to reveal it to. And we know that the rulers of this age didn't get it because they what? They crucified Christ. They crucified Christ. And then he makes it pretty clear. He says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and that which has entered the heart of man. In other words, there's no sense of man that is able to actually understand or come up with the wisdom of God. Can't do it through your eyes. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't make it up. You can't think it in your heart. He says, all that God has prepared for those that love him. This wisdom that God has prepared, this revelation of the gospel and the truths of the word of God. And so Paul really has left us off with, guess what? You can't do it on your own. You Corinthians thinks that somehow there's something here that either through the way the message comes or the messenger that's going to bring the truths of the word of God. And he says, you're hanging on to worldly philosophy that cannot save you and it cannot come to the wisdom of God. And now he's about to tell you why. He's about to tell you how actually this comes. And he says, the wisdom of God comes through what? The Holy Spirit. This is why people can't get to God's wisdom on their own. This is why they can't discover the truths, divine truth, is because they need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to them. And so he says, Corinthians, don't mistake the messenger, don't mistake the message, don't mistake how the floweriness of things. Understand that the only reason you came to salvation wasn't because Paul was flowery, not because there was some really complex argument. It was because the Holy Spirit took the truth of the Word of God and revealed it to you. And so this morning we are going to see in this text three steps of the Spirit's transmission of God's wisdom. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings God's wisdom to us. This is how he does it. This is how he does it. Well, first of all, we'll simply see that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals God's truth. He's the one who reveals it. Look with me in verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Now, first of all, the first question we have to recognize, for God has revealed them through the Scripture. What has he revealed? Well, verse 9, all that God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, God has revealed what? The gospel. He's revealed in Jesus Christ what he has accomplished on the cross. He's revealed the truths of Scripture. And he says, for to us. Well, who is the us here? Who is the us? Is he speaking of every single believer here? What is he speaking of? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that he is speaking of the apostles here. If we look in context, he says in verse 1, and I came to you, brethren, and I did not come with superiority of speech, proclaiming to you what? The testimony of God, the apostle. Verse 6, yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age. Again, who's speaking? Same person. So again, when we come here in verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit, who is he speaking to? The apostles. And so he says, for God revealed them through the Spirit. In other words, he revealed all that God has prepared for those who love him, the gospel and everything that has to do with Christianity, with the faith. And how did he reveal them? What? Through the Spirit. Now, the idea of revealed here is the idea of something that, to disclose something that was previously hidden, or to unveil something that was veiled. So God made himself known through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent of transmission for the Trinity. In other words, he is the one who transmits or gives or reveals the truth of God to us. And so here he's saying, listen, the Holy Spirit must give us what? Revelation. He must give us the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will now reveal the Word of God to us. He says, well, how can the Holy Spirit do this? How is it that he is that one? Well, he says, here he is eminently qualified, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals, because he's the one who knows God. Now, right away here, you might say, I have a problem, Pastor, and I have a massive theological problem. Is not the Holy Spirit God? Is he not one of the Trinity? And the answer to that would be yes. Then why on earth is the Holy Spirit having to search God? Why is he having to search the depths of God? Doesn't the Holy Spirit know? Is he learning? Is the Holy Spirit learning here? Is that what's going on? Well, the answer to that is no, he's not learning. Because if the Holy Spirit is God, he's omniscient and he knows all things. So what does he mean when he says he searches the things of God? Well, the phrase simply means that he is the one who penetrates the inner being of God. He knows he is God's own spirit, and he knows everything about God. Not convinced? 1 Chronicles 28:9, David says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. Now listen to this. For God searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. So what is he saying? God doesn't know what you're thinking, so he searches your heart to find it out. Is that what it is? So he needs, hey, I wonder what Vanda's doing right now. Oh, picked a name, right? And so he searches that heart? No. The idea is that God, this is kind of like an anthropomorphism, where God is, there's the language is speaking as God is acting as a person, but the idea is this, what? God actually knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. So he's not trying to make it as if God is learning, but he's simply trying to make it, it's language we understood. God knows every single part of your heart, your thoughts and intents. And so the same with the Spirit. The Spirit knows the mind of God, because he is God and he knows it all. And he's just emphasizing that the Spirit knows everything about God, every single depth of God. So he is eminently qualified to reveal God's revelation to us. It's not, an angel couldn't do it, a man couldn't do it. Only someone who knew the full mind of God could write scripture without error, because he knows everything about God, and therefore there would be no single detail in the revelation of scripture that would be wrong. He says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Now he's making a point. Now he's illustrating it. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, Pastor. That bothers me, because Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Well, the point he's making here, he's not talking about the deceitfulness of your heart. He's trying to make the point that no matter how much I know you and how much I talk to you, and even though I can describe you and I can describe things about you and I can describe your physical description and your nose and your eyes and your feet, well, not your feet, your shoes, I really don't know your thoughts. I really don't know what you're thinking, right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? So you can say one thing and be thinking another. And he says, who knows your thoughts except the spirit of a man? In other words, the idea is just simply, you know what you're thinking, I don't. And his point is, that's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except what the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit knows the thoughts of God just as intimately as you know your own thoughts. And so the Holy Spirit is able to reveal the Word of God and the thoughts of God because He is God and He intimately knows God. And therefore, whatever the Holy Spirit produces, whatever He reveals about God is absolutely true, absolutely right, absolutely inerrant, because it cannot not be right because He knows everything about God. Right? Can you imagine if Scripture was given to us by someone who didn't know everything about God? How easy it would. God is infinite. We are finite. How easy would it be to get something mixed up? And yet the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals it to us. So the Holy Spirit then is the one who brings us revelation. He discloses God because He knows God. So the Holy Spirit, God's wisdom is brought to us because the Holy Spirit reveals it. Something that we could not know unless He did. Something, this is why man can't find God's wisdom. Because it had to be revealed. And it had to be revealed by someone who intimately knew God enough to get what he was writing right. He had to know the thoughts of God. Why can't man get there? Because the Holy Spirit must reveal the truths of God. Well, if the Holy Spirit revealed Scripture, how did He get it here? Well, He got it here through what? Inspiration. And I think that's what He's describing in verses 12 and 13. In other words, He revealed the Word of God. How did He get it here? Through the process of inspiration. The inspiration God breathed, He now brings that to man. He says, now we received what? Revelation. We now received, we now got something. In other words, something had to be offered for us to get it. We are now those who what? Have taken hold of it. And he says, we have taken hold of it. It has been offered. We have taken it. Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Now, commentators debate whether this is speaking of the individual receiving the Holy Spirit or whether this is the receiving of the Word of God. I would understand that this is speaking here about the receiving of the Word of God. This is the same, now we, this is the same we that is in verse 10, the same one that's in verse 6, the same person spoken of in verse 1. Now we, the apostles, have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. In other words, this is the process by which the Word of God was given to mankind. It was given to the apostles, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God is the one who gave the Word of God to the apostles. Now you say, I'm not so sure about that. Pastor, you're going to have, I'm not so sure, because it says that they receive things taught by the Spirit, right? So how do you know that what he's speaking of is the Word of God? Well, I actually think verse 13 explains what he's talking about in verse 12. Verse 12, he says, we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may freely know the things that God has given us. I believe that's the speaking of inspiration of the Word of God, that the Spirit gave to them, not the spirit of the world. It was not from man's wisdom. It was not something that man came up with. It was not satanic, who often pushes man's philosophies, doctrines of demons, so that we may know the things freely given to us. In other words, that we might know what God has for us that is revealed in the Word of God. How do you know that's speaking of the apostles? How do you know it's speaking of Scripture? Well, I think verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So again, I think we have the we received, and we speak. Who's the we? The same we is, that is us in verse 10, the same people talked about in speak you, yet we speak, verse 6, the apostles. Now he says this, we speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Simply saying that the Holy Spirit is the one who taught them, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. In other words, the apostle is claiming to be that his Spirit-led utterance when he preached is also the same message and the same thing that he recorded when he recorded the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is inspired. It is given to us. God gave the apostles spiritual thoughts and directed their minds so that they would choose the right words to express those thoughts as they were carried along with the Spirit, by the Spirit. For prophecy, Peter says in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but God spoke from God as they were carried along with the Holy Spirit. So God didn't dictate to the apostles, but God used their education, their background, their vocabularies. He used them in the time and place that they were born, and they would then write the Word of God in a supernatural, mysterious way that ended up with every single word being written as if God had spoken it himself. It was God-breathed. I know there are commentators who would tell you that this is speaking about God enabling you to speak words and to speak spiritual words and have spiritual thoughts. But contextually, I don't think it goes there. Contextually, I think he's speaking about the inspiration of Scripture as it is brought down by the apostles to us. And so God is bringing to us what? He reveals the Word of God. How does he reveal it? Through the process of inspiration, so that the Holy Spirit teaches us, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, so that we end up with the Word of God. So step number one, God reveals it through the Holy Spirit. He reveals it through the process of inspiration. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Why can't man get to God's revelation? Why can't they understand the truth? Because they need it illuminated. They need the Holy Spirit to reveal it and teach it to them. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. In other words, you can take the revelation that has been given by inspiration and you can read it and not understand it. You can take the natural man, and the natural man here is simply speaking of the unbeliever, those who are in the flesh, those who have not been born again, and every person born is born in the flesh. They are born spiritually dead. They are unable to reach God. They are unable to understand spiritual truth. That's why he said that's what is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, every person born is born in that flesh, in that natural state, in that hostility towards God. And they are unable to understand the things of God. In fact, Jude says, these men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the what? Spirit, the unregenerate man. In fact, the Bible says any person without the Holy Spirit is what? Unsaved. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Christ, Romans 8:9. In other words, you need the Holy Spirit, and the natural man does not have him. He is unsaved. And he says he does not accept the things of the Spirit. Accept has the idea here of to be open to or approve or accept. So this is where we want to make sure that we understand. He does not accept the things of the Spirit. It does not say that he does not have some comprehension of the facts. All right? It doesn't say they don't understand the facts, because how hard is it to read Scripture and see that Jesus died on the cross, and how hard is it to see that he claimed to be God, and how hard is it to see that he rose again, and how hard is it to see that he is seated at the right hand of the Father? Like, there are certain basic facts of the Scripture that can be seen, right? Paul understood the gospel. He understood it. And that's exactly why he persecuted the church. He knew Jesus Christ claimed to be the Messiah. He knew that he was replacing the Old Testament law. Paul was fully aware of that. And that's why he, what, persecuted the church. And Paul's problem was that he, what, he couldn't accept it. He couldn't approve of it. He could not wrap his arms around the truth and take it wholeheartedly. And so he says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit. He does not grasp them, for he cannot. For he cannot. Now notice this. It doesn't say that he may not. What's the difference between may not and cannot? May not is permission. Cannot is ability. And he says, the natural man cannot accept these things. He cannot. He does not have the ability. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. And we saw how that was foolish. Remember earlier, to the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Greeks, foolishness, to Gentiles, foolishness. They look at the gospel and they look at the Bible's truths and they say they are what? Moronic. They are stupid. Inept. Crazy. Distasteful. Absurd. Why? They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have this Holy Spirit. They simply do not have the ability to accept. And if you look at every single analogy about salvation, it is always the same. It's the hopelessness and inability of man. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're blind, right? You cannot see. You're adopted. All of them point to the inability of the one coming to salvation to have anything to do with their salvation. Dead men don't reach for help. Babies don't choose to which family they're born to. Blind men can't see. There's no ability in humanity to find the truth. Then it is necessary for a work of the Holy Spirit. It can only be done by God. It is hopeless for humanity. It can be accomplished by God. Jesus said in John 16:7-11, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. When he comes, he will convict the world, that's unbelievers, of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to tell people they're guilty of sin. That of the righteousness of God and the fact that they're going to be judged in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me no longer, in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. In other words, it is necessary for man to have a work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit must come and convict him of these things, or they will never see the truth of the Word of God. Why? They're spiritually discerned. In other words, they can only be appraised, judged, scrutinized, and examined and evaluated by those who are what? Spiritually awakened. They're the only ones who have the ability to discern. Discern is a legal term used by a lawyer in a preliminary trial before going to the grand jury. The thought is that even preliminary investigation of the scripture by the unsaved man demands the work of what? The Holy Spirit. In other words, they can never accept the truth. They can never start to come to the truth on their own. It takes a work of the Holy Spirit, even in the preliminary understanding of the Word of God. The saved man sees the same things in the Bible that the unsaved, but the unsaved man does not understand them. He may be able to rejoice a little in the Bible before he is saved, but only because he is in the period prior to salvation when the Holy Spirit is convicting and teaching him. So he says, they are spiritually appraised. In other words, anyone without the Holy Spirit is incapable of appraising spiritual truth. And then he says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. He who is spiritual appraises all things. Now, there are a few commentators who would say that the word spiritual here means mature believer, as compared to an immature believer. But I'm a little confounded with that conclusion, because the whole tenor and the whole comparison in this passage is between the what? The believer and the unbeliever. Those who are in the flesh, those who are in the spirit, and here he says those who are spiritual are able to appraise. In other words, those who are what? Saved. Those who have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Those who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that they can assess the truths of the Word of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. In other words, we have the Spirit, therefore we can now appraise these things. We can understand the truth. We can understand God's truth. We can appraise all things. The idea of appraising all things means to evaluate all things. And the idea here is that we are qualified to sift and examine and decide rightly. Did you get that? We have the ability to we are qualified to sift and examine and to decide rightly. Why? Because we're so smart? No, because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides us. In fact, we have a resident teacher, the Holy Spirit, and he has an anointing on us. Now, here's one of those words that we want to understand. What is anointing? This word has been misused. People have used it as if this is a second work of the Holy Spirit, something that we need to experience, something to make your life greater. No, it's not. 1 John says, as for you have an anointing you have received from him, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing you have all things. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Spirit's illuminating work of what? Scripture. He's talking about the Spirit's illuminating work of Scripture. Now, here's the thing, and this is one thing I want us to understand. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth through the what? Word of God. Through the Word of God. He is given to us so that we can examine all things, that we can scrutinize all things, appraise all things, but he is always working through what? The Word of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not some free agent that is downloading revelation and giving by some person being inspired, and therefore they come up with some truth of the Word of God. That's not the way it works. It is always the same. God has given revelation. It is closed by inspiration to the apostles who have passed it to us, and we have the Holy Spirit that allows us what? To understand the Word of God. He illuminates what? The Word of God. The anointing is the illumination of the Spirit so that we can appraise and discern and evaluate and scrutinize things, all things, the things that God has prepared for, that God has loved him, that we can understand the deep things of God, that we can understand the Word of God, the things that come from the Spirit of God, because we have the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you this. If the Corinthians had understood this, then Paul wouldn't have had to read or write chapters 12 to 14 about the spiritual gifts. Because here are the Corinthians who are so busy trying to get revelation from God and trying to speak in tongues that they have forgotten that God's primary way will always be that the Holy Spirit works what? Through the Word of God, illuminating the truth. If you want to get revelation from God, it must come from what? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not in this free agent downloading information and visions to people. He's in the business of taking the revelation that he gave through inspiration and illuminating it for believers so that you might what? Know the mind of God. Now notice this. He says this. But the one who is spiritual praises all things, yet he himself is not appraised by no one. Now, this isn't an arrogant statement. This is simply saying that no one in the world has the ability to judge a believer in truth because they don't understand spiritual truth. They don't understand the Word of God, and therefore they are unqualified to actually criticize the believer. They will never understand your stance on abortion. They will never understand all of the morality that you stand for. And he says, no one appraises them because no one is qualified. Why aren't they qualified? Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? In other words, the unbeliever has no right to appraise you because he is actually judging God's mind. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Of course, no one. I've just told you in verses 6 to 9 that no one can know the mind of God. Nobody can understand it. Nobody can come to it from their wisdom. You need the Holy Spirit. And when they judge the believer and they say that what he believes is wrong or idiotic or moronic, they are actually what? Judging God, because it is God. Who knows the mind of God? Who can instruct him? Are you telling me that when a believer stands on the truth of the Word of God that he's wrong and that somehow God has it wrong? May it never be. And then he ends here, but we have what? The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ, what? Revealed through the inspired Word of God, given by revelation, and now illuminated by what? The Holy Spirit. And so we have the true wisdom of God because we have the mind of God revealed through the Word of God, illuminated by the Holy Spirit so that we can understand it and that we can now see the world and for what it is. So why does the world reject the gospel? Why does it reject the truth of God? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They can't understand. There's a tendency for us to sometimes think, well, the world is so hostile. Why don't they get it? We give them the gospel, we show them the truths of the word of God, and it seems so intuitively correct, and we're like, what's the matter with you? Smarten up, McFly. Why don't you understand? Well, they can't. And so instead of getting angry, we need to have compassion for them because they are trapped and unable to hear. And there can be a tendency for us to go, well, maybe we need to change the message and we need to change the gospel because people are rejecting it. No! They're rejecting it because they don't have the Holy Spirit and the ability to understand it. And then we have to recognize we need a little humility. Because he says to the Corinthians, hey, not only did he pick you motley crew, you guys not too bright, not too mighty, but guess what? It was nothing in you. You got it because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave it to you. Don't think you're somebody. Don't let the wisdom of God be a source of pride for you, because the only reason you get it is because you have the Holy Spirit and God was gracious to you. And so we're left here with this morning with the understanding that the reason the world rejects God's wisdom and sees it as foolish is because what? They don't have the Spirit. They can't get it. And so we pray that God will open their eyes that they might see Jesus. And we understand that though the world says we're foolish and we're moronic, inept and foolish, that we can actually see what true wisdom is because we have the Holy Spirit. And so let us be those who stand on the Word of God, who stands on the truth of the Word of God, and who understands that it is the Holy Spirit that allows us to see this truth. And may we always be faithful to the truth that is revealed to us in the wisdom of God in the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word. We again thank you for this passage and the reminder that salvation is from you. That the only way that we can understand spiritual truth is through a work of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that we would always be faithful to proclaim the word of God and the truth of the gospel as revealed in its pages, because this is the mind of Christ revealed by the Holy Spirit, and then allow the Holy Spirit to take that and to work in people's lives. And may we never back away from the word of God and the gospel, but may we always understand that it is your Spirit that must make it wisdom. And we want to thank you that you have made it wise for us. In your name, amen.